This is the voice of the Vortex. Hello. Today is July 12, 2011. The short stories of Jamie Lackey have been featured here before, and those of you who listen to the Drabblecast will certainly remember her story of love, dancing, and baked goods entitled Toast. If you haven't yet listened to it, it's episode 123. Go have a listen. I'll be here when you get back. Wasn't that awesome? Her stories have also appeared in Bards and Sages Quarterly and The Living Dead 2, edited by everybody's favorite John Joseph Adams. She is also one of the editors for this year's Triangulation Anthology from Parsec, Inc. Now, she's putting together an anthology of uplifting fiction called Bursts of Light. This book will be an antidote to the grim meat hook fiction that seems to be so popular right now. It will celebrate humanity's triumphs and our potential. If that's the sort of thing you want to read, then you need to go make it happen. Jamie Lackey has put together a Kickstarter campaign to raise the money she needs to buy fiction, pay printing costs. There was also something in there about making cookies. Cookies, as we all know, are essential. I've put a link in the show notes, but you can also search Kickstarter, that's Kickstarter, all one word, .com, for Bursts of Light, and help make this anthology happen. A common theme among promoters of alternatives to medicine is the idea that conventional medicine only treats symptoms. Taking an aspirin for a headache, they say, only masks the pain that is caused by an underlying disorder. As usual, the promoters of alternatives to medicine have it exactly backwards. For most of history, the practice of medicine has been dangerous for the patient. Out of ignorance, doctors killed more people than they saved. For example, they believed in a disease called fever. A person who had fever would be hot and flushed. Traditional medicine attributed this to an imbalance of life energies and treated it by removing a few liters of blood from the patient. This did not reliably kill the patient, but it never cured the fever. In 1676, Van Leeuwenhoek, whose name I'm probably butchering, submitted a paper to the Royal Society describing the microscopic creatures he saw through his recently invented microscope. No one believed him. In the 1860s, Louis Pasteur performed experiments that conclusively connected Van Leeuwenhoek's animalcules to disease. Now, no one talks about a disease called fever. Fever is a symptom. If a patient goes to a doctor with a fever, the doctor will try to figure out the cause of the fever. A fever that is localized to an area right around a wound, for example, will be treated differently than a fever that affects a patient's entire body. And a fever that is associated with muscle aches and fatigue will be treated differently than a fever that is associated with, say, white spots on the back of the throat. Modern doctors know that it is important to identify and to treat the underlying cause of a symptom like fever. Now, I'm not saying that modern medicine is perfect. We are still learning, and we are still making mistakes. The difference is, science has built-in mechanisms for rooting out and discarding the mistaken ideas. I am not aware of any other system, certainly not in the alternative to medicine community, that serves the same function. Over on the Skeptic's Guide to the Universe, they recently weighed in on the pi versus tau debate. Briefly, the debate is whether or not the circle constant should be a ratio based on the diameter, that is, pi, or based on the radius, a constant called tau, which is equal to twice pi. What they failed to cover is the more far-reaching debate, namely pi versus cake. On the surface, pi seems more deeply involved in the production of pie than it is in the production of cake. Cakes, after all, are frequently rectangular. However, this ignores the phenomenon of the small, rectangular, fruit-filled pastries that are served as pie at fast food restaurants and quality vending machines everywhere. Certainly, neither pie nor tau are essential to the manufacture of either cake or pie. Speaking as someone who enjoys both cake and pie, under different circumstances, I believe that one of the key differences between the two desserts is that the failure point for pie is much more difficult to reach than the failure point for cake. Most failed pies, after all, still make quality toppings for ice cream. Failed cake, on the other hand, can be a miserable, mealy, flavorless mess. Even a good cake can be ruined by its frosting that is too sweet, or too plentiful, or afflicted with that strange chemical tang that is so common in grocery store cakes, can turn an otherwise decent pastry into a disaster that no amount of ice cream can salvage. In local news, I'd like to give a big thank you to everyone who attended the Kansas City's first Maker's Faire. As far as I'm concerned, the event was a complete success. The Maker Faire featured people from all walks of life who make all kinds of things, from flying robots to scented bath salts. It seemed like every other booth there had a 3D printer. I had never seen one of those in real life, and now I kind of want one. For those of you who are unfamiliar with 3D printers, they work kind of like a cross between an inkjet printer and a hot glue gun. The printer takes in a spool of plastic, the same kind of plastic that is used to make Lego blocks. It heats the plastic, and then, using a very precise nozzle, it sort of draws the shape of the object that it is printing, building it up one layer of plastic at a time. All of the printed objects that were on display had visible layering around the edges. They were very cool, but they were not pretty. Still, 3D printed objects can and are used for prototyping mechanical parts that are later manufactured using a more precise method. They can be used to replace plastic parts when the plastic has the right mechanical properties for it. And, as Stephen Colbert said, 3D printers allow us to make our own cheap plastic crap in the comfort of our own homes. As I said, I kind of want one now. This month's meeting of the Kansas City Science Fiction and Fantasy Society will be a podcasted discussion of high fantasy, its history, and where the genre stands today. I'm told there will be pizza, and I hope to see you there. The Voice of the Vortex is produced under a Creative Commons, Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivative Works, Share Alike 3.0 license. To comment on this episode, please drop an email to voiceofthevortex, all one word, @gmail.com. Show notes are available at voiceofthevortex.podbean.com. This is Sarah Frost, the Voice of the Vortex, signing off.